from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios. You're listening to Inside Agriculture. And, of course, today being Tuesday, we're looking at wind chills in Minot tonight, around that 36 below range, and also 30 below in our part of the listening area. So you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Now, with every new year, resolutions are a common occurrence. The National Pork Board established its goals for the year ahead months ago. National Pork Board President Jan Archer says anyone that looked at the latest USDA Hogs and Pigs report should know the top priority for the pork checkoff.
It's going to be marketing. You know, we're looking at a record amount of pork coming onto our shelves and into our shackle space. And frankly, it was a surprise to a lot of us. But even had that not been the case, we were already looking at a record. So this is going to really force our hand. We're really going to have to focus on our domestic marketing, on our partnership with our retail partners, on our innovation team. We're going to rely heavily on them. And we're going to rely very heavily on our exports. We're really going to have to be looking off of our shores to market some of this pork.
And to build domestic demand, the Pork Checkoff is working closely with its retail and channel partners.
Probably the days of marketing commodity pork by itself are waning. So we're really looking at partnering with people who already do this for a living and helping to enhance their marketing efforts and putting our producer dollars towards that. We've seen some real successes with that, so we're going to continue with that.
By working with retail partners, Archer says the Pork Checkoff can increase its marketing effort.
There's a real synergy in being able to partner with the National Pork Board, between the National Pork Board and our retail partners. It's interesting, over the holidays, I saw a lot of chains, a lot of our retail partners, a lot of our restaurant partners that have the little pork logo on their menus and on their advertising. And that was a real sign to me that they see value in what the National Pork Board is offering.
Jan Archer, president of the National Pork Board. Well, we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, Doug Peterson, Minnesota Farmers Union president, actually went over and had a visit with the Pope. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Inside Agriculture. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. And, of course, you're listening on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon in Fargo, and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon in Fargo, North Dakota. Well, when we're talking about what's going on inside agriculture, the weather definitely a big issue. And, of course, farmers and ranchers, definitely make sure your livestock is taken care of. And you've done this long enough, so you know that they need food, water, and shelter. And with wind chills expected to be around 36 below in the Minot area and 30 below in our listening area, it looks like we're going to be looking at cold weather, and it's going to hang on for, well, throughout this week, and it looks like throughout next week as well. Well, it's no better time than right now to talk about the chance to mention farming and the Vatican in the same sentence. But today, well, it's that day. Recently, outgoing Minnesota Farmers Union President Doug Peterson made a trip to Rome to visit with Pope Francis about the importance of family farming in the world today. Now, this is that second trip for Peterson, and this time he was able to present the Pope with a document on behalf of Farmers Union to ask for his blessing toward the work that they do.
A document that we produced called Food, Faith, and Farming, or the Vocation of the Agricultural Leader, basically about the ethics of raising food throughout the world. And the document has been now picked up by the Vatican. What that means is we have He has now endorsed that document.
And Peterson said it was interesting to hear the Pope talk about rural life, and it's important in the world today.
What he believed in, it was very, very rewarding that he certainly believes that there are certain things that need help in agriculture, and he talked about rural life. And he specifically said that agriculture is no longer considered a primary sector of the economy, but it clearly continues to be the important part of policy development, and for that means addressing the needs of food and food security in rural communities and throughout the world.
Now, Peterson says Pope Francis was very candid in his comments towards agriculture during their meeting in Rome.
But he also talked about things that we as farmers can do as family farmers, feed the world. And the other issue is he was not a person who read just the script, that you know, the prepared remarks. He went off script, and he was animated, and he was very passionate about family farming and our role in the world as feeding people. And that's pretty darn impressive in my opinion.
Now, this effort, according to Peterson, is an all-faiths effort to promote the importance of family farming.
This is not a Catholic effort. This is an ecumenical effort to broaden support for family farmers and rural people throughout the world. An ecumenical effort, and is understood that way by the Vatican. Doing this is the reason for going to the Vatican is they have 1.3 billion in the Catholic Church, and the reach of the Catholic Church is quite large. We are also moving forward with presenting this to ecumenical, in other words, other religions, so that there's going to be an exposure of how people treat rural people.
Minnesota Farmers Union, standing for agriculture, fighting for farmers. And you can find out more at www.mfu.org. Again, Minnesota Farmers Union President Doug Peterson with a trip to Rome. Well, we're going to take another break here. However, when we come back, no, we're not going to talk about the cold weather. I think you know that we're going to have wind chill advisories for the next few days. So make sure your livestock's taken care of. Yeah, and I've already talked about it. Well, American Farm Bureau Federation anticipates major agricultural policy decisions this year. So when we come back, that's what we're going to discuss. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. And we can't emphasize enough, with a wind chill advisory is up for the Minot area and soon to be for the Ag News 890 and Thunder 106.1 listening area, that when we're talking wind chills, 30 to 36 below, 36 below in the Minot area, 30 below in our listening area, it's definitely good to make sure your livestock is taken care of. While American Farm Bureau Federation expects agricultural policy discussions to begin early on during the upcoming legislative session, American Farm Bureau Federation Public Policy Executive Director Dale Moore says AFBF will begin farm bill discussions at their annual convention and idea trade show in preparation for the next Congress.
Chairman Mike Conaway with the House Agriculture Committee and Chairman Pat Roberts with the Senate Agriculture Committee have been talking about their plans to get the process started, if not by early to midwinter, certainly by the time we get closer to spring. We're going to start those discussions, the hearings, the conversations. But the key thing we know is when we get to convention, we're going to have a very in-depth discussion about those policies. And American Farm Bureau is going to be ready to hit the ground running when we get those signals from our House and Senate Ag Committee leaders that it's time to start that discussion.
Now, Moore says immigration reform continues to be a top priority for agriculture. He says AFBF will advocate for immigration reform that supplies agriculture with a legal, stable workforce.
When we get to the point where we can have these conversations on the Hill, we need to make sure that the members of Congress and certainly the incoming administration understands that without a legal, stable supply of labor, U.S. farmers are challenged by worker shortages. That leads to lost crops, leads to lost income, leads to lost jobs, and it makes it more difficult for us to compete with imports.
Now, finally, Moore says tackling tax reform is also a key priority in helping America's farm and ranch businesses.
We're going to be working in conjunction with a lot of other groups because we share a common interest in getting this tax bite that impacts the bottom line in these small businesses all across the country. We look forward to working with the leadership on the Hill. We hope that a comprehensive tax reform package is in the offing, and we're going to make sure we're ready to go after those.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation Public Policy Executive Director Dale Moore. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, the incoming Trump administration is going to be looking for bilateral trade deal partners coming up in 2017. Well, actually, that would be this year. We'll talk about that next. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, we mentioned before we took the final break that we're going to talk about the incoming Trump administration and what they're looking for as far as bilateral trade deals with partners in this 2017 year. That's assuming the U.S. president-elect ditches America's involvement in the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, as he has announced. Well, President-elect Donald Trump says his administration is going to pursue bilateral deals after rejecting TPP. And American Farm Bureau trade advisor Dave Salmonson says a handful of countries are ripe for those talks.
We'd still be interested in doing a bilateral deal with Japan, a large trading partner capable of improvement. We had a lot of good provisions in the TPP with Japan. We'd like to save some of those or find a way to make those move ahead. Vietnam also is a country we'd like to do a deal with. Lots of opportunity there, especially in meat products.
China, not a TPP member, is the biggest player in the region.
That's something that I think people would be interested in pursuing. We'll take its share of time, and there is a lot of issues to be dealt with, but certainly China is always right there at the top of any list in the Asia-Pacific region.
Other countries that might increase the value of U.S. agricultural exports include Indonesia, the Philippines, and Taiwan.
We've had some issues with getting pork exports into Taiwan. We'd like that improved. Whether those issues on specific commodities rise to the level of wanting to go ahead with a full-blown trade agreement, but certainly another place in the Asia-Pacific where agriculture definitely has a trading interest.
Now, another question for the new administration is, who's going to lead trade negotiations? Well, will it be longtime Trump business lawyer Jason Greenblatt, tapped for a new post of Special Representative for International Negotiation, or a not-yet-named nominee for U.S. Trade Representative? Also, inside agriculture, a recent survey of rural residents commissioned by DTN, the Progressive Farmer, found that land prices passing on the farm to the next generation, biotechnology developments, and agribusiness mergers are just some of the things on the minds of farmers going into the new year. Now, land prices and valuations brought strong reactions from the respondents. 69% of farmers and ranchers in the survey strongly or somewhat disagree with the statement, "My farm is profitable given current land prices." Now, land rental rates brought an equally sharp reaction. 52% strongly or somewhat disagree with the survey statement, "My farm is profitable given the current cost of renting land." Well, it looks like the cost of land could make it very difficult for farmers to continue for another generation. 85% of farmers and ranchers in that survey are concerned or very concerned that the price of land will affect their family's ability to farm into the future. 78% of the survey respondents are concerned about giant mergers in the seed and chemical industries. Over half of the survey respondents said they diversify their incomes by working a job off the farm. Well, there it is. That's what's happening today inside agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.